It's about cutting emissions of greenhouse gases to the new official target, net zero, by 2050. Will it require a complete rethink of the government's approach to aviation? Environmental campaigners say that a letter that they've had from a senior government official suggests they may be coming to that view in Whitehall. The government's aviation strategy is currently out for consultation. The man who's had the letter is Tim Crosland from the pressure group Plan B, which is taking legal action to prevent the expansion of Heathrow, and he's here in the studio alongside the chief executive of ADS, which is the trade body for UK aerospace, Paul Everett. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
So, Tim, tell us about this letter. Who sent it? What does it say?
So we sent a letter to the government last week saying been two really important developments since the government approved Heathrow expansion and Parliament approved Heathrow expansion. First of all, Parliament has just declared a climate and ecological emergency. And secondly, the government's expert independent advisor, the Climate Change Committee, has said it is necessary for the UK to get to net zero emissions by 2050. So we wrote to the Department of Transport and said, surely it stands to reason you now review your plans in those contexts. It's got obvious implications.
And the reply?
The reply was, we're taking this very seriously. We're looking at it carefully. We need some further information from the Committee on Climate Change.
You're an organisation that is taking the government to court. Isn't this just a cautious servant who's taken legal advice? If you'll forgive me the bleeding obvious, which is, of course, if you're going to ask them, are they taking advice into account? They will say, yes, we're taking advice into account.
Well, in isolation, you could look at it that way, but it's not in isolation. In Parliament last week, we had Caroline Lucas ask Michael Gove, well, now that you're telling us there's a climate emergency, what does this mean for Heathrow expansion? Surely you're going to do the right thing and say that isn't consistent with your words. Michael Gove avoided the question. He started about bees instead because he was canny enough to realise it just wasn't credible to say we're ploughing ahead with Heathrow. Nicola Sturgeon on Thursday said in light of the climate emergency, we're doing our support for Heathrow. So this is a wider context. It's clear there are emissions.
Paul Everett, you're not here to speak for Heathrow. I know you speak for the trade body that represents the companies that make the planes and the parts for planes. But do you accept the broader point that Tim Crosland is making, which is two crucial changes have been made in the to climate change from our political class, and therefore the way in which we fly, the amounts we fly, is going to have to change?
So I think from an industry point of view, we recognise absolutely clearly the importance of the environmental impact that the growth in aviation has, and we have been committed over a long period of time to addressing that very seriously. So we have, over a long period of time, from a manufacturing view, produced aircraft that are progressively cleaner, quieter, more efficient, and we recognise that there is an even bigger challenge for us as we move forward. I mean, there have been a number of important developments in years. So, as an industrial point of view, that's the airlines and aircraft manufacturing point of view, broken the link between the rate of growth in demand and the rate of growth in greenhouse gas emissions from aircraft.
You've broken the link in the sense that it's not one for one, isn't it?
No, no.
So, it's still the case that if more and more of us fly, there are more greenhouse gas
emissions. We're not trying to argue that there is a lot more work to do, but I think we have made an important breakthrough in recent years, and we have in place already, because of the investments that we are making, because we have in place uniquely a global emissions trading scheme for airlines, which will help to constrain the rate of growth as we move forward, and then as we introduce better technology, but also as we address fuels, as we address airspace management, we can begin to see, if you like, in the first next decade, we cap growth, then we begin to see the actual ultimate net decline in growth. So we are not trying to evade our responsibilities.
Let's just bring Tim in and I'll bring you back.
Okay.
So, Tim Crosland, there's a lot of progress, it's being argued, being made with more fuel efficiency and so on. Is it theoretically possible that technology could get us to a point where airport expansion is not the point when it comes to climate change? There may be other reasons to object to it, but it's not the point when it comes to climate change.
So we've just got to be sort of sensible about this. And I think it's fair to assume there's going to be some technological development. The Department of Transport have done their modelling on this, and they've made some fairly optimistic assumptions and said if all those assumptions come to pass, including assumptions about technological innovation, then by 2050 we could reasonably expect to limit emissions from UK aviation to 40 million tonnes of carbon dioxide a year. Now, already it's obvious we've got a problem, because if the UK has to be net zero across the whole of its economy by 2050, well, 40 million tonnes of carbon dioxide just from aviation doesn't appear to square with that. So that's even taking account assumptions about innovation.
So, Paul, this brings us back to the point that politicians have changed their mind. They've gone from limiting greenhouse gas emissions to saying net zero. And therefore, you and the industry are going to have to have a rethink, aren't you?
I think that it's about the direction of travel. I think the context I'd like to bring is that the growth in aviation, whilst there is still significant growth in Europe and, you know, what we might see as the sort of developed world, North America and elsewhere, the rapid growth is in places like China, India, Africa, which, you know, to date have very, very low levels of aircraft and aviation use. And if you talk to their governments, they are faced with conundrums which are about how do we create infrastructure, either roads, rails or airports, in order to foster the growth that we're going to be. So I absolutely accept that on current trajectory, even if we do great things, there is going to be growth and the levels are going to be higher in the future. So the challenge for us is, how do we ensure that the economically efficient ways of reducing global carbon emissions are addressed in a sane and rational way?
In the end, Tim, you're coming from different perspectives, aren't you? Because Paul is saying, you know, people want to fly, it's good for the economy, and we can try and do it in a safer way. Aren't you saying, in effect, we actually have to upturn our economic model? We cannot fly, whether we want to or not, whether it makes the economy smaller or not.
Saying is, people want good information and they're going to make their decisions on the basis of good information. So of course people might want to fly. There are all kinds of reasons why people want to fly. But if you know that the consequences and the impacts of flying are going to be devastating for you and your family, then that's going to affect your decision.
Very briefly, good. Can we see if we agree on the facts? The official figure for aviation is it contributes to 7% of UK greenhouse gas emissions, as I understand it. Is that right? Are those facts you accept?
And we can also, so there's a domestic emissions, and then there's domestic and international.
It's there or thereabouts.
Currently, yes, it's projected to grow. Yeah.
Okay. Tim Crosland, Paul Everett, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
3 minutes.